In the shadow of your wings, I will abide forever and hear my spirit sings. I will rejoice in you, my God.
Welcome to In the Shadow of Your Wings with Pastor John Marins of the Granby Christian Church. The Granby Christian Church desires the lost to be saved and the believer to passionately pursue Christ in all that they do. Let's join Pastor John Marins for today's message.
Oh, good evening. Tomorrow is Easter, and we're so excited about Resurrection Morning. And tonight we have again Brian Matchell with us telling his near-death story. And Brian, pick up from where you were last week and tell us what was going on in your heart as you had this experience with Jesus.
Okay, as the last time, as I left off, they put a pacemaker in me because I had just about died right there, and they shocked me back at Freeman Hospital.
Yeah.
And so I went about 8 months after that time, and things continued to go downhill because my heart, my stenosis that I had, aortic stenosis, continued to get worse, and the valve continued to shrink, and other things were happening. And I come to a point within 3 to 4 months before I actually had this surgery I'm going to tell you about, that I wasn't remembering names very well. Life was becoming a struggle. I was having these little in and outs, getting close to being dizzy, and then coming out of it. And I was telling Julie, I don't have much time here. I can't fool around. They're going to have to do something here. And I'd call different hospitals just and reading online and trying to find out maybe where I should go. I didn't know. Finally, I was sitting there at my computer, I remembered later. And I just prayed, Lord, where should I go right now?
Amen.
I just didn't know. I'm not, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know all these. And I said, Lord, please tell me where I should go. I don't know where to go on this. I don't know what's happening. And so anyway, I call up Freeman Heart Institute. Now, I had a friend there that answers phones. I asked for her. So she said, hey, how are you doing, Brian? I hadn't seen you in a while. And I started telling her all the things that was happening. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm getting these dizzy spells, and I'm feeling like this. This is happening. That's happening. And I don't think I have very long. I'm serious. I don't know if I could just fall over and have a heart attack. That's it. She said, Brian, just a minute. She comes back in a couple of minutes and says, look, we have Dr. Bang, who is here and has done some outstanding work. And I said, really? She says, yeah, he's a younger guy. She's done all this outstanding work. He said to get you on in. And so they made a spot for me. They triaged me, got me on in. And I introduced myself to him, and he introduced himself. And I just started talking, and he just sat there and listened to me with my file in his hand. And I said, Dr. Bang, I'm sure I don't have much time. I told him what I was experiencing. And he looked at me, and then he said, that's why we're not going to go by this. He had held my file because I guess I had advanced a lot since then. He said he had already planned all this. He already recognized all these things going on, but just past tests. And he said, you're going to go in Freeman tomorrow, and you're going to do two tests. I need to see two things. I said, okay. And so Julie and I went in the hospital and into the cath lab, and he did two different types of tests I've never even seen or heard of. Then we was in about the next day or two after that, and he said, you're right, you don't have much time. He said, I know Dr. Kaniko. He's a great surgeon. He's a teaching surgeon at Barnes Jewish Hospital at the research center. And he does nothing but this kind of thing. And he teaches. You know, he's good. He'll be able to do all these extensive things because he had just told me I had all these things wrong with me.
Yes.
And
so it was really critical. It wasn't just the norm.
Yeah, and was that a coincidence that I just happened to not have my other cardiologist anymore? He had moved somewhere, and I just happened to have this Dr. Bang that came in.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, and after I prayed, remember?
Yes.
I prayed for this, and he just happened to know a world-renowned heart surgeon, Dr. Kaneko from Tokyo, who has become chief of staff at the Heart Research Center in St. Louis.
At Barnes.
And I looked up and read and I thought about him. I thought, oh my land, this is, thank you, Lord, this guy's something, you know. So he has quite a team there, you know. So as it were, we went right up there, Julie and I did. Kind of an awesome feeling to think what they were going to do. And so I went in, and I remember praying as they put me on this operating area. And I just said, well, Lord, I'm not in control once again. I've never been in control. And if you take me home, I'll go home. And if I stay, I'd like to stay with Julie and my family. And this is hard to do in a way. But I told him that I have a new great-grandson coming soon. I'd like to see him, but it's up to you. I said, it's up to you, Lord. You're in control. So you do whatever. And that's where I left it. And then the lights out after that. Those nurses were tricky. Because I felt a little cold thing run up my arm. And after that, I don't remember anything after that. So anyway, I went through that, and I woke up. And come to find out, they had I looked up in the portal at Barnes, and it tells everything that surgeon did step by step. He talks into a mic, and then the stenographer writes it all down. And I looked it up, and you can look up your surgery. And one of the first things they had done after he prepared my heart is he said, now I'm stopping the heart. And he said, he said I'm cutting off the clamping off the arteries with whatever kind of clamps they call them, and we're doing this and they're doing that. And they put my head in control in a cooler. Wow. Control for my brain so it could not go down into go up into temperature or down too much. And I'm sure they had a doctor just monitoring all of that and the EEG running to make sure I'm okay there. And it's amazing, this whole operation, because they didn't just do one or two or three things here.
Right.
And so I'd like to let you know that the reason I'm telling you this is so you realize this was God's hand.
It is God's hand.
They removed my heart, put it into a cradle. It's a cardiac cradle, let's call it. They cleaned up scarring. Dr. Kaneko came in on the third day, and he told me some different things. But they cleaned up the scarring, and they did a coronary graft, put in a valve there. The coronary feeds the actual blood flow into your heart to keep your heart alive. It's not the pumping through of your heart. That's one of the most tricky areas right there. I read about coronary grafts. Also, they took out, they fixed an anomaly because my flow was not in the right place in my heart. He had to de-roof, it said, and take out the artery piece in my heart. And he called for a doctor, so-and-so. It was there to harvest out an artery out of my leg. He took that and sutured it in place. He put in a new cow valve that was engineered for human use.
Wow.
By a company. Put in that new aortic tricuspid valve instead of just two flaps, had three, because I was one of the 2% that had the two flap valve. And I had an aortic aneurysm. This is the most dangerous part that Dr. Bang was trying to tell me about, that I didn't have time, because it could come apart. And it had already moved out several centimeters. So they actually used Dacron polyester, it says, sheets to put in to my heart area. I guess they use a robot so they can cut everything precise and not hit things they're not supposed to hit. And they put that in there. It says he sutured those in place and he did all this. So 6.5 hours, to cut it short here, 6.5 hours.
Wow.
To do all of this. I was under anesthesia. And boy, does that give you brain fog if I didn't have enough before. They said, well, don't worry. In 2 months, that'll all be out of your system. You know? So anyway, that all happened. And I asked Dr. Kaneko, great guy, young surgeon, but wow, what he can't do. And I said, what did you see when you opened me up? And he shook his head. And he said, Brian, I looked at your heart, and I said, this won't fly. And so I was at this point, and, you know, then I'm thinking, oh, my lands, that's a way to tell me I almost didn't make it.
That's right. That's what he was saying.
They overhauled my heart, and he had a neat way to tell me that.
He did.
And I was truly amazed. And the amazing thing out of this whole thing was, this is extreme invasive surgery where I almost died.
Yes.
And so they were expecting me to be in there a while, rehabbing. It's going to take me a while to get out of bed and on and on. Second night in the hospital, I'm laying there and I'm thinking, oh, my lands, I have to sit up. This is going to kill me, just laying here. And I reached my arm over as much as I could. I hit the button and the bed came forward. Being an audio prosthologist, I knew my legs were like one-third of my weight, so I swung those over a little bit, and it helped me as I, you know, held onto the rail, get upright. And I'm just sitting there. A nurse walks in, because they really check you there on that cardiac unit. And she looks, and she looks startled at me. She says, "Who are you?" And I told her my name. "Where are you at? Why are you here?" Because she thought maybe I was out of my mind. Because they're not used to that, seeing somebody with even, they said, with half of that invasive of surgery doing the stuff I was doing. And I said, she said, "Well, don't try to stand up." I said, I'm okay. I'm breathing well. I was breathing better, this new heart overhaul I had. And she says, "Don't try to stand up." So she says, "You want to sit over in that chair?" They set me over in the chair. The next night after that, I did the same thing. I sat there, and they had already had me stand in that day and showed me how to use a walker and just wanted to see what I could do. So I knew how to use this walker. So I stood up. And I held onto the bed, though. I held onto that rail.
Sure.
Kind of wedged myself down to the end of the bed, and I got hold of that walker. I walked myself about 80 feet down right. the hall, and the nurses are all sitting at stations all around back there with all this electronics watching their patients and their heart surgery patients, and one looked at me just startled, then another one looked at me startled, and then they all started, and one stood up, and another stood up, and I thought, what in the world, you know, I didn't do anything, and they said, "What's your name?" And I told him, "Where are you at? Why are you here? What day is this?" On and on. I couldn't answer some of the questions, but I knew who I was, though, you know. So anyway, they said, "How do you feel?" They'd give me all of the questions. And so they come over and escorted me back down to my room and let me sit in the chair. And then after that, they started coming in saying, "I can't believe the shape. Your collar is so good. And you're walking. And are you feeling any pain?" I said, "No." "Are you feeling pressure?" "It's usually pressure." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, some." "Well, where are you at?" 1 to 10. "Oh, 3, you know, mm-hmm. 4, whatever." It went like that until I went home on the fifth day at noon.
Fifth day.
Instead of 15th day.
Wow.
Or whatever it was supposed to be. When I got home, the home care nurses were a surprise too. And after a bit, I had a rehab guy come in, and he had already planned for 12 weeks for rehab because he had read the list of everything I went through. So he said, "First, we're going to do this. We're going to have you just stand and sit down as many times as you can in 30 seconds. He said, "When you're ready." So I did. I think I did 10 or 12. And he stood there looking at me a minute. I thought, uh-oh, maybe isn't that not enough or what? he's writing all this down, writing it all down. And I said, "Well, how did I do?" He said, "I've been doing this 15 years. I've never seen anybody do what you just did that's even had half the invasiveness of what you just went through. In fact, you don't even need to see me." Now, think about that. Was that a coincidence?
No, it wasn't. What I'm hearing through this whole testimony, Brian, is that Jesus Christ was looking over your shoulder, looking into your heart, and seeing exactly what you needed to have happen.
Yeah. And I asked for it.
After you asked. So we're asking right now, aren't we, for God to work miraculously. Oh. Tomorrow's Easter. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot of people go to church maybe for the first time in 6 months. And they've strayed away from the Lord. They're not reading their Bible. They're not coming and giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't save ourselves by works, but God expects us to do things in response to His grace.
You know, I used to be stubborn, and I used to keep going the hard way until it just hit me one day, why am I doing this? And the Lord kept tapping me on my shoulder. Now I walk with Him. I pray all the time.
Amen.
I see an ambulance somewhere or some situation. I say, "Lord, please help that person." Everybody involved, I just talk to Him all the time, and things happen.
So, Brian, talk to God right now about somebody who's listening who might be struggling.
Oh my. If you're out there and not listening, take a look. The Bible is the most read book ever in history. No other book comes close. And it was written by somebody that could start writing it thousands of years ago, put all these letters together, and then assemble them for us to read all together. And it's exactly true. And He is real. Turn your life over. Go the easy route. Let God bless you. Let Him answer your prayers. Talk to Him.
Pray about that, Brian, would you?
Yes. Lord, thank You so much that I had the opportunity to go to church from when I was young,
Amen.
Hearing about You, Lord Jesus. And I pray everybody out there right now that's hearing me right now,
yes.
I pray Your Holy Spirit would talk to them.
Please.
Because I know there's so many of them. You've been talking to them for a long time, and they know it too. And they know maybe perhaps right now while they're hearing me, this is the time. This is the time they've been waiting for. Don't wait until you think you're good enough. You'll never be ready. You can't be good enough. That's why the Son of God died on the cross for you, is because we can't be good enough. And that's what God had to teach us, writing His Word the way He did. That's why we've been able to read it. And He wants you to know Him better and to draw close. Ask Jesus right now, Lord Jesus, come close to me. Come close to me. I want to know You better. I can't do it on my own. Please come close to me, Lord.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian, so much for being with us. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to In the Shadow of Your Wings with Pastor John Marins of the Granby Christian Church. If you don't have a church home, they would like to invite you to join them this Sunday for morning worship at 10:45. The church is located at 969 Granby Miners Road in Granby, Missouri. Have a blessed weekend, and remember to abide in the shadow of His wings.
I will rejoice in You, my God, in the shadow of